Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the endarkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the endarkened corridors of power, and we shine a light ahead of us to the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together. In other words, to address real issues instead of defending ideological positions. Well, I was thinking about calling this podcast, First They Came for the Homeopaths. Well, you know, anybody who grew up in post-World War II world is familiar with the confessional quote by the German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came to me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Well, I'm deeply saddened to report that we seem to be on a very similar track here in Nazi America. That's spelled N-O-T-S-E-E, where people refuse to see what's actually too uncomfortable to look at. The COVID crisis and the lockdown has been an excellent excuse to censor and deplatform many forms of alternative medicine, particularly those that cannot be owned or controlled by Big Pharma. This is nothing new, only now it's just become more blatant. Well, our guest this week is homeopathic expert and author Dana Ullman, and he will discuss the issue of medical totalitarianism and what we can do about it. He'll also reveal some research on what the 1990 pandemic got wrong and how those misunderstandings have been leading to deaths in this current pandemic. He will also discuss a recent article in the San Francisco Chronicle that misquoted him and misrepresented his viewpoint just so they can make a point about quote-unquote anti-vaxxers. And he's going to share with us a Huffington Post post he posted 7 years ago, taking Wikipedia to task for its bias against homeopathic and alternative medicine. Dana Ullman is one of America's leading advocates for homeopathy. He's authored 10 books, including The Homeopathic Revolution, Why Famous People and Cultural Heroes Choose Homeopathy, Homeopathy A to Z, and he's also co-authored the best-selling Everybody's Guide to Homeopathic Medicines. He has also created an e-course, How to Use a Homeopathic Medicine Kit, which integrates 80 short videos with his famous e-book, that is a continually growing resource that includes 300-plus clinical studies published in peer-reviewed medical journalists that have affirmed the efficacy of homeopathic medicines. Welcome, Dana. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Steve. That was a great introduction. And you are right. I think we are living under a dictatorship, a very serious dictatorship. And that's one of my own creations, though I have to admit that you inspire me all the time with your black belt in punnery. So,
well, yeah, I've also got a black belt in borscht belt, in case you didn't know that.
Oh, borscht belt, of course.
Back in the day. And, of course, farce fields do get created, and I'm glad you're inspired the farces with you. I like the dictatorship. I don't like the concept. I like the phrase, but not the actuality. Now,
that's right.
I have listeners who I'm sure are familiar with homeopathy, and listeners who probably are not familiar with it. So let's begin with a little bit of an overview. What's homeopathy and how does it work?
Okay. Homeopathy is a natural pharmaceutical system that uses nanodoses, extremely small doses of plant, minerals, animals, or chemicals based upon whatever toxicology they are known to create. Because every substance on the planet, plant, mineral, animal, or chemical, in one dose or another, can and will cause a syndrome of symptoms in the human body. I mean, something as nourishing as calcium can, in overdose, create brittle bones. In smaller doses, it strengthens bones, but in larger doses, it actually weakens them. Same thing with fluoride. Fluoride at one smaller dose will nourish and strengthen the teeth, but in overdose, it will mottle them and turn them grayish and yellowish and have them ultimately fall out. So the idea here, for those of us that believe in evolution, and I hope that is each and every one of us, symptoms of illness are not simply breakdown, but symptoms are actually defenses of our body and mind in order to fight infection, adapt to stress, and ultimately to survive. So the body creates a fever, creates inflammation, creates discharge, creates high blood pressure, or whatever. These are our body's adaptive forces to try and defend itself and to survive. And what happens in conventional medicine is the assumption that whatever the body's doing is wrong or is simply not enough. So if you're constipated, they give you something to loosen you up. If you're too loose, they give you something to constipate you. And it's this push-pull that goes on. But in homeopathy, it's very different. We believe and we have a profound respect for evolution. We have a profound respect for that doctor inside each and every one of us. And that when a person has an acute or chronic illness, these forces, instead of combating them, instead of fighting disease and creating a war on cancer, and so much of conventional medicine is really a fighting language, in homeopathy and even much of natural medicine, it's quite different. It's instead of attacking disease, we seek to nourish and nurture the body's own defenses. So in homeopathy, we look for a medicine in nature that would, if given to healthy people, cause the very similar syndrome of symptoms that we as a person are presently having. Because these symptoms actually have a wisdom. Instead of suppressing them, you look for a medicine that will actually mimic them. And that's why I call homeopathy medical biomimicry. And because we use such small doses, I call it nanomedicine or nanopharmacology.
Very, very, very interesting. Now, I read somewhere that the royal family has been employing homeopathy for generations. Is that true, or is that
made? For 200 years. The royal physician, different royal physicians over the last 40 years, I've written 10 books, and they've never written a foreword to any other homeopath except me. And I've had two of them do that, because I like to think that I write books in the most responsible manner. I make reference to the best research, and ultimately, I create really strong advocacy articles for homeopathy. And, the fact that the Queen Mother is in her hundreds is not surprising, because that's really quite common in homeopathy. Her husband passed away at an early
99.
Age, in his 90s or something. John D. Rockefeller in America went to homeopaths the last 50 years of his life, and he lived to 98. He promised that half of his money in the 20th century was going to go to homeopathy, and not a single cent went. And in the first three decades of the 20th century, he gave away $500 million. And we've never been able to figure out why. I theorize that his money manager was, who was really antagonistic to anything other than conventional medicine, simply lied to him because, you know, he wanted something. He said he wanted it, but it didn't happen. So,
wow, that's really an interesting story because you know, we've been hearing that it was the Rockefellers and Rockefeller Foundation that essentially helped establish the American Medical Association and the Flexner Report, which essentially...
Well, it's more complicated than that, actually, because it wasn't the Rockefeller Foundation, it was the Carnegie Foundation. Though, what is true, the Rockefeller Foundation did hire Abraham Flexner. They hired him after he did the report to actualize the goals of his report. And at that time, there were 22 homeopathic medical schools in America. You may have heard of them. Boston University was a homeopathic medical school. Ohio State, a homeopathic medical school. University of Michigan, University of Minnesota, even that radical University of Iowa, homeopathic. New York Medical College was New York Homeopathic Medical College. And the most respected university in Philadelphia was named after the founder of homeopathy, called Hahnemann Medical School.
Interesting. And so nowadays, most people who have not had anything to do with alternative medicine, you know, may have a peripheral idea of homeopathy as being, you know, some quaint system that is has been superseded by this modern technological brilliant genius medicine. And so this seems to be the as I say, the new word, the situation that we're facing, and it seems like this particular there's been a campaign against homeopathy, and I have a sense that you have a more nuanced view than those people who, you know, who just make it black and white. Let's hear your view about the war on homeopathy and over the past century. And how that's played out.
Right. Well, you know, history is fascinating because you might be able to dispute science in different ways and question a study or another, but history is simply factual. So, for instance, from the 1860s to the early 1900s, the AMA had written within their ethics code something called the Consultation Clause, which stated that if any conventional doctor consulted with a homeopathic physician, mind you, homeopaths graduated from Harvard, graduated from various conventional medical schools, and then we had many of our own big conventional or big schools. But if you simply consulted on a patient with a homeopath, you would lose your membership in the AMA. And in fact, this was so sternly enforced that on the night that Lincoln was shot, his Secretary of State, William Seward, was stabbed 7 times. The assassin got into his home by saying he had a delivery from his homeopathic doctor, was able to get right into his bedroom. He took out his gun and tried to shoot him, but the gun didn't work, so he took out his knife and stabbed him 7 times. And the closest doctor to the Seward at the time happened to be the Surgeon General, who was a couple blocks away, and he went and he treated Seward. But because Seward's personal physician was a homeopath, as was virtually Lincoln's entire cabinet, mind you, as Lincoln himself, and even Mary Lincoln, that's a whole other story. But because the Surgeon General treated a homeopathic patient, he was reprimanded. They decided they weren't going to kick him out of the AMA, but he was reprimanded for treating a homeopathic patient. But let me give you another bit of history that helps you to understand how the AMA got rich and how they got powerful. Because in 1899, homeopathy was on the uptick. I mean, the people that were going to homeopaths were all the transcendentalists, you know, from Emerson and Thoreau and Emily Dickinson and Louisa May Alcott and Julia Howell and Susan B. Anthony. I mean, they were totally into homeopathy. All the abolitionists were into homeopathy. Not all, but you know, many of them. So the abolitionists, the transcendentalists, and the homeopaths were the same group of people. But in 1899, the new head of the AMA came up with a brilliant idea to create the AMA Seal of Approval on Drugs. And to get the Seal of Approval on Drugs from the AMA, you did not have to prove that the drug worked. You certainly did not have to prove that it was safe. You had to do two things. One, which is a good thing, you had to say what was in your drug. You couldn't have any secret formula. And that's good news. Mm-hmm. But the second thing, and more important thing you had to do, is you had to agree to advertise in every local, regional, and national AMA publication, which means you had to give the AMA a lot of money. And so that is how the AMA was able to get rich, get powerful. And then, mind you, after this guy led the AMA for 25 years, he was such a criminal in so many ways, they finally kicked him out. And as he went out the door, he burned all his files. And he made certain that the person that took over for him, who ended up taking over for the next 25 years, was his protege. And his protege created the AMA Seal of Approval on Foods. Mm. So... not only did this guy, was this guy the guy in the AMA that protected tobacco and taught them how to advertise and did not allow any anti-tobacco article in any AMA publication until after he left in 1949. But, you know, we give him credit for... creating the Standard American Diet, which the acronym is SAD, Standard American Diet.
Yeah.
And so the bottom line is in 1903, there was a doctor at an AMA convention who announced, he said, "We must admit we never fought the homeopaths on matters of principle. We fought him because he came into the community and got the business."
We're going to leave it right there for the second as we let that sink in. And we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with our friend Dana Ullman in talking about homeopathy. Fascinating history. We'll be back very shortly.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Well, we're back on WikiPolitiki with our guest Dana Ullman. We're talking about homeopathy. We're talking about how it was nudged off the platform for seemingly economic reasons. So now we are in the midst of this COVID crisis, and where we're finding even more deplatforming of natural treatments and I would say the use of fear to get people in line to get shot with a vaccination. Am I exaggerating? Is this really the case? Have you noticed more deplatforming? Say more about what's going on right now and what you've observed.
Well, I am absolutely shocked at how science has become censored. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to censor a different political point of view, but to me, it's horrid that we are not allowing proper debate. Because believe me, there is not a single school of thought in medicine as though there, historically, there's always been multiple schools of thought. And it's not that the people like myself are involved in natural medicine don't believe in bacteria and viruses. We do. But we also believe that one of the ways to fight them is not to attack the bacteria or the virus, but to strengthen the body's immune and defense system. So even though Fauci himself once made mention that he takes regular daily vitamin C and D, no one ever reports about that. What else should we know about to strengthen the immune system? And before the vaccines came along, what were people to do before they needed to go to the hospital? Nothing? Actually, there's a lot that people can do. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, a major journal published by the British Medical Journal did a study on physical activity versus sedentary lifestyles. And they found a five-fold increase in complication rates and death rates in people who are sedentary. So the bottom line is that there's a lot that people can do to prevent complications. And for those of us that respect this doctor inside of us, if a person gets COVID, that may not mean they're totally immune to COVID from now until eternity, because there have been a handful, and there have really been a little bit more than a handful of cases of people who've gotten COVID twice. But there's a lot more vaccine failures. I mean, there's tens of thousands of vaccine failures of people who've gotten vaccinated, but who got still infected. So the bottom line here is that the youth of the world should actually get the disease, build up immunity, because everyone else is going to have to get vaccinated every 2 years. Because if it isn't one of these COVID pathogens that will get them, one of the variants will. So, yes, I was one of the people that was highlighted by the San Francisco Chronicle this past week. They did a cover story on interviews with three of us, and as to why we're not getting vaccinated. And I was quoted twice, and I stand behind each of the specific quotes that I was given. So there was a third instance where she said, without any quotation marks, she said, Dana Ullman believes that certain supplements, in nutritional supplements, including zinc, are better than vaccines. And as it turns out, I wrote a letter to the editor, which they didn't publish, and I wrote a letter to the author. And just today, she said, you know, I heard what you said, and I have changed the article in the online version so that it doesn't mention the word vaccines in that sentence. Which I thought was remarkably honorable. I mean, how often does that happen? Now, mind you, it doesn't change the print version, and it doesn't, you know, those people that read it and they saw it said, Dana Ullman said that they're better than vaccines. I never said they were. I said that nutritional supplements, good diet, yeah, healthy exercise, homeopathic medicines, and this whole program are one strategy to build immunity so that if I do get the pathogen, I won't get the complications of the disease. And that's all that we really can ask for, because, in fact, that's all the vaccine claims it can do. It doesn't claim you won't get it. It just claims you won't get advanced cases of it. Well, I don't need that help. I'm already doing that.
You know, what's interesting, back in the early days of this is April, longtime friend of mine, I've known him 40 years, very congruent character. He's a chiropractor, and he has used conventional medicine. He's had some very serious issues that required high-tech medical intervention. He's very grateful for all of that, to keep him well and all of that. But he's telling me about an associate of his. I can't tell you where this person is. But the associate, this is back last April, had treated 35 or more COVID cases, including somebody sent home from the hospital, using various, some of the things we've talked about, zinc, vitamin C, et cetera, et cetera. And all of those people recovered. However, this other physician could not tell anyone publicly about what they were doing. So, because he would be, brought up on God knows what kind of charges. So the point is that, and there was just a recent video that I watched on ivermectin, and this has been a treatment that's been successfully used in at least one province of India. They started using it accidentally. They were using it for something else, and they saw that people taking it did not get COVID or didn't get very intense symptoms. And so when in this country, when people were told they tested positive, basically they were sent home to either get well on their own or wait until they got sick enough to be admitted to the hospital. There was no intermediate treatment for something like that. In fact, ivermectin was deplatformed as well. What do you make of that? I mean, in a certain sense, it's leaving people to die.
That's right. That's right. Well, first of all, I want to make it clear. I'm not a pro-Trumper. I'm quite the opposite. I am super anti-Trump. And as for QAnon, I'm not even Q-curious. So with that background, I do have to admit that Trump's drug, that hydroxychloroquine, is also a drug that tens of thousands of physicians have been using with success. Now, here's an important thing to know. The two biggest studies that attacked or questioned the efficacy of, I'll just call it HCQ, were published in The Lancet and in the New England Journal of Medicine. But what people don't know is that 2 weeks later, both of these journals retracted this study because they determined that the data was found to be fraudulent. So this news of it not working spread all over the world, but its retraction got very little attention, even though, I should say, the New England Journal almost never retracts a study, and The Lancet never retracts a study. But here's the other thing. The only reason why hydroxychloroquine is used, it's an anti-malarial drug. But what's unique about it is that it enables the body to absorb zinc in your food or in supplements more effectively. And zinc then helps augment this hormone called thymulin. And thymulin is the hormone that helps create T cells so that your body can fight viral infection more effectively. And none of the studies that showed it didn't work used zinc. So these studies were set up to fail. And then to make matters worse, whenever they did a study that looked at how safe the drug was, they chose to use a dose of it that was 4 to 6 times the normal dose. And let me explain, why do you think Fauci did stuff like this? And why did he support things? It's not that he did the study, mind you, these studies, but he helped fund several of them. So he knew what he was doing. Is that in order for him to get these emergency vaccine exemptions, the FDA to allow that, there could not be any drug that would not cure, but just even mitigate the symptoms of COVID. So he had to acknowledge that there was nothing that anyone could do. And that's why he was so antagonistic to everything. The only ones drugs that he was not antagonistic to, by the way, was for people who got advanced stages of COVID. And there were new drugs by big pharmas that were super expensive. And you can sort of figure that out as to why he would make an exemption for these super expensive drugs. Mind you, they were not good at the first stages of COVID. So the first stages of COVID, before you go to the hospital, what are you supposed to do? From Fauci's point of view, you should do nothing. You should just wait until you have to go to the hospital. And of course, that's totally crazy-making.
Well, it's crazy-making, and it's demonic. I would use the word demonic. Evil, as in evil. You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, you know, because there are so many people that I know who are so bought into here in Berkeley. We're living in the same town, probably the same neighborhood. There are people here who are absolutely religious about this narrative, and they think that science is on their side without recognizing that they're only allowed to see certain science. That brings us to the next question, which has to do with the back when there was such a thing as the Huffington Post and people like you and me could write for it. You wrote a wonderful piece there, taking Wikipedia to task for essentially being a promoter of allopathic medicine against homeopathy and pretending to be objective and not. So tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to admit to making a big mistake when I began editing on Wikipedia in the 1990s. Because I had written 10 books on homeopathy, I thought that when I would edit stuff on homeopathy, that people there would recognize me as an expert. So I edited under my formal name. But little did I know that the skeptics of homeopathy had taken over Wikipedia and were so high in number that they would outnumber me 10 or 20 to 1, or sometimes other people would join me, but there were so many of them. And then what they determined is that they said, Dana Ullman, he writes books on homeopathy. He has a conflict of interest. In other words, instead of recognizing me as an expert, I mean, I had written 4 chapters in medical textbooks, 2 of which were published by Oxford University Press. But, you know, I'm not an expert. And even though I'd sometimes be arguing against someone who might even be a medical doctor, you know, they hide that. And they're allowed to then edit on any subject that they want. In fact, some of them do acknowledge themselves as medical doctors, but just because they're a medical doctor doesn't mean, they have a conflict of interest. But with only homeopaths seem to have a conflict of interest. So, you know, I wrote this article. In fact, I wrote 40 articles for the Huffington Post between 2010 and 2015. And my editor was the health editor, and she grew up on homeopathy, so she had a healthy respect for it. And she put my articles on the front page of the Huffington Post on a regular basis. So my articles were averaging 1,000 comments per article.
Wow.
You normally get that if you were writing an article about Sarah Palin or the Kardashians, but homeopathy was one other exception there. And so in case people are interested, if you were to Google my name, Dana Ullman, and Huffington Post, you'll get to my page there where you'll see the 40 articles I've written. And I'm really proud of that body of work there. I mean, I'm really proud. In fact, one of my articles I wrote as a satire about how Big Pharma will create the next pandemic. And in 2010, I predicted that they were going to use bat blood. I actually nailed it. I used the word bat blood and bat bodies twice in this article as a possible source, because I thought they would just try and creatively use exotic things to create the next pandemic.
as in actually releasing the germs, as in what it has been suspected about Wuhan. Is that what you're talking about? Intentionally releasing them?
No. I do not believe that anything here was intentional. Mm-hmm. I think the Wuhan Institute of Virology, that like many problems, are simply escapes. I mean, it's an easy type of thing to escape. And that was the problem more than, you know, intentional. I don't think this was planned, but that it's easily. In fact, according to the World Health Organization, they questioned the story from China where they said that it was evolution. And the serious thinkers today theorize that it wasn't evolution that did this. It was from the Institute of Virology in Wuhan.
And it just got out.
Yeah.
But again, when information is suppressed, then naturally disinformation will get platformed because nobody knows what's true.
Right. And the worst part about it is Google is participating in this blackout. They have blacked out the entire website of Joseph Mercola at Mercola.com. And Mercola.com, if you actually read their articles, are very well referenced to the best science. They have blackballed Robert Kennedy's website, the childrenshealthdefense.org. Now, recently, Robert Kennedy's law firm won a $186 million judgment against Monsanto for their Roundup product. Robert Kennedy has spent 25 years working to clean up rivers throughout America. The history of his actions has been stellar, above all reproach. And he, as a lawyer and as a science-based lawyer, is really quite excellent. He may have made some mistakes, as I think Fauci has made many mistakes, but he doesn't get blacklisted for making a statement once or twice. But the problem here is that Robert Kennedy's work is probably a big black eye to big pharma, and so big media has to defend their biggest advertiser. So, in fact, Bobby Kennedy tells the story of one of his family's friends.
I'm going to take a short break. Dana, we'll be back. You'll pick up the story about the anecdote about Bobby Kennedy Jr. after this short message. This is Steve Bannon on Wiki Politics.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Well, hi, we're back for our final segment on WikiPolitiki with our guest, Dana Ullman. We were just talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his being the platform. Continue with your anecdote that I interrupted.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of his family friends is that evil Rupert Murdoch. And Murdoch told Bobby directly that if any of his anchors ever brought him on Fox News, that he'd fire that anchor. And as it turns out, over the last 10 years, the only time Bobby Kennedy was ever invited onto Fox News was on the day that Bill O'Reilly was fired. And Tucker Carlson chose to bring him on for a really short 3-minute interview because, you know, Fox News had to do something to get to keep some of their listeners and perhaps pick up new ones. And so the bottom line is, left or right, every big news needs big media, big pharma to help pay their bills. And so we are given a short shift here. And, you know, we're really not getting all the news at all.
Yes. And I think that the people who are my good friends on who have stayed with the progressive position on this, I don't think they really understand that there is a worldwide movement for medical freedom. That is, history is on the side of that movement, as opposed to on the neoliberal, neoconservative establishment trying to make sure that the medical monopoly is preserved.
Right, exactly.
I want to talk about one more thing here. This is something that you've come up with recently. You've done some research on the 1919 influenza pandemic, and something that that they got wrong and perhaps we're still getting wrong. It may be impacting the treatments for COVID now. Would you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. Most people don't know it, but in 1917, aspirin went off patent. So this wonder drug became an even cheaper drug to get. And because it's both a painkiller and it reduces fever, people thought that it might be a good drug for people who had the flu. Well, the AMA thought so highly of that idea that they recommended 25 aspirin tablets a day. 25 aspirin tablets a day. And the Surgeon General of the United States recommended that too. And one of the symptoms that aspirin is known to cause, of course, is bleeding, usually in the digestive tract, in the stomach. But if a person has a respiratory tract infection, it will cause bleeding in their lungs. And that is the symptom that killed people. They died because they were bleeding in their lungs. And that's why that particular pandemic was so in part so deadly. Now, it's not the only reason it was deadly. I mean, there's other reasons, too. And not everyone who died took aspirin, but they were taking other drugs that were working to suppress the fever because they thought that was a good idea. In fact, actually, for those people that just follow the science, fever is the way the body uses to fight infection, and that enables the body to stop viral replication. And if you take fever-suppressing drugs, you're then enabling the virus to penetrate your nervous system and penetrate your body. And today, people are not using aspirin as much, but they are using Motrin, they are using Tylenol, they are using Aleve. And in fact, what's interesting is Motrin, and which is ibuprofen, is known to cause blood clots. So, you know, some of the conditions that people are having and the side effects that people are having from COVID may, in fact, be related to the drugs we're taking, not just to the disease that they're having. Now, you should know that one of the interesting facts about history is that homeopathy gained its greatest popularity in America because of the incredibly good successes it had in treating infectious disease epidemics. I'm talking about cholera, yellow fever, scarlet fever, typhoid fever. And during the flu pandemic, you know, the average death in homeopathic hospitals was literally 1/30th. 1/30, in other words, 30 times more deaths by percentage in the conventional medical hospitals than in the homeopathic hospitals. And there were over 100 homeopathic hospitals in America at that time.
Wow. So that's a very interesting statistic.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's facts, by the way, in terms of homeopathy. I'll tell you one other fact. Three different popes gave the highest award that a pope can give to a non-clergyman to physicians who treated people during the different pandemics of the 19th century, and all these physicians were homeopathic doctors. Once again, it's not as though the pope is taking sides. They are just seeing which doctors are out there providing effective treatment, of which it gets nationally and internationally known, and the Pope acts in a way of saying thank you.
You know, this really, these are all of the pieces of history. Again, a lot of people that I know who are supporting the current medical system insist that they're smarter. In fact, I just saw a video with these comedians who say, listen to those people. They're smarter than we are, right? I call that smarterdom. Smarterdom. That's where you sacrifice being happy for being right. You know, smarterdom.
Right.
And so we're seeing that. And people seemingly don't recognize that the facts, the facts that you're being given are exactly wrong, but they're partial. And there's a whole lot of other provable, irrefutable facts that are not being allowed to come out. And so people who read the New York Times, who think they're very well informed, and people who listen to NPR and think that they know everything, are really being kept from knowing a lot. So because you and I are in similar circumstances, we're not Trump supporters. We also recognize that I came up with a new word to describe associating anything that anyone says with what they don't like. We call it Trumpin' lumpin', lumping that viewpoint with Donald Trump supporters. We've been subject to Trumpin' lumpin', being lumped with Donald Trump. How do we break through this particular barrier right now? When I think it's a life or death thing, that the continued deplatforming of natural medicine. Earlier, you mentioned RFK Jr.'s lawsuit against Monsanto, which is really about one company poisoning the world and wanting to own all the seeds and means for production of food. And I'm just wondering how people who are so wanting to promote social and economic and environmental justice can overlook this big elephant and donkey in the living room because it's both political parties. I'm just putting that out there. How do we deal with this right now?
How do we deal with this? Well, you know, don't allow, do whatever you can to speak up, link to organizations, support organizations. Bobby Kennedy's organization, the Children's Health Defense, is a great one to support. You know, it's sort of ironic that Mercola is criticized because he sells supplements at his website. So it's thought as though that he has a conflict of interest. As though medical journals don't have a conflict of interest when they have drug advertisements, or when many of their studies are funded by drug companies. I mean, it's sort of interesting how all too often a person might criticize something, and there might be a certain degree of logic to the criticism until you hear from the other side and you realize, oh, they are ignoring their own conflicts of interest. I mean, really?
There's another issue here, and this has to do with the approaches that natural medicine and functional medicine and many forms of alternative medicine take, and that is to work with the wisdom of the body and not overwhelm the wisdom of the body. So what you were saying about fever, it seems like we have an entire medical system that is determined to suppress symptoms and fail to recognize that those symptoms are actually part of the healing process. So say a little bit more about that, because I think that's a real area where people could use some understanding.
The bottom line is that the paradigm of conventional medicine is to be antagonistic to nature and to oversimplify nature. Antibiotics, it's as wonderful as they are, they may create as many problems as they are providing benefit for. So, and we're taught to think that attacking the microbe is the only way to fight infectious diseases, when in fact history shows us, as I've said now several times, that homeopathy, even in the strongest and most serious infectious disease epidemics, has had remarkably good results. I haven't made reference to an important study that was done at the University of Vienna Medical Center on people with sepsis, which is a very serious type of medical infection from which 50% of the people die within the first 6 months. And in this large study that they did, they found when given the same degree of conventional medicines plus homeopathic medicines, that when they were given homeopathic medicines, only half of people, in other words, 25% of the people died. So we were able to have that stellar of a benefit. And so even in the most serious types of infectious diseases, let alone some of these other conditions, COVID certainly is a problem, especially if you don't know how to treat it properly. Most homeopaths that I have been in touch with, virtually none of our patients are needing to be hospitalized. I mean, they're having a tough time. In other words, from 3 days to 10 days, they might be sick, but that's it. And they're usually over it. So the trick is to use strategies. Now, I am one of the people that does see patients still, but even before COVID, I was seeing them on Zoom and I was seeing them on Skype, and that's one of the great benefits. So if people want to connect with me, they can go to my website at homeopathic.com. My name is Dana Ullman, Ullman, I prefer if people do not call me, that they email me. They can email me at email@homeopathic.com. And for people that want to learn more about homeopathy, my website has 100 free articles on the subject. And then we sell a lot of books and tapes and medicines and software.
Yeah, this is really a self-education process. And, you know, my wife Trudy and I have been, you know, involved with alternative medicines of some kind for, you know, our most of our adult lives. And we're very familiar with a lot of these concepts. And over this past year, we felt really horrible about people who were in fear about getting this disease because they had no means of dealing with the symptoms once those symptoms showed up. And they were essentially hung out to dry by the system. And perhaps if there is justice, that system will be brought to, made accountable, given how Donald Trump was blamed for screwing up the whole thing and causing all of these deaths, you got to wonder what would have happened had people been given ivermectin or some of the natural
right.
protocols that would have helped them keep their, you know, have a much less serious case of it and never even get to the hospital. Makes you wonder.
Right. Yes, it does. And it should make you wonder.
Well, hopefully this interview will circulate and you will continue to share what you're doing. Folks, if you go to the WikiPolitiki page on my WikiPolitiki website, the page for this with this interview, you'll be able to get a link directly to Dana Ullman's website and all of the resources that he's presented there. Anything else you want to share before we sign off?
Yeah, just real quickly, one of the other, my newest projects over the last couple of years is I created an e-course, which is on called Learning How to Use a Homeopathic Medicine Kit. And it's a mixture of short videos and then a e-book, which provides not only specific information on which remedies to use, but it gives reference to and summaries of the 400 studies that have been published in peer-reviewed medical journals. So when you hear that there's no evidence that homeopathy works, yeah, except for the 400 studies published in medical journals, yeah, it doesn't work.
Thank you, Dana Ullman. I appreciate your taking your time to be with us. We'll be back next week on WikiPolitiki. This is Steve Behrman. Goodbye.
Bye.